Humboldt Holding Up is brought to you by Los Bagels, bringing the community organic fresh baked bagels, specialty breads and baked goods, and my personal favorite, their famous slug. Los Bagels, they're here, baking through it, 7 days a week at 1061 I Street in Arcata or 403 2nd Street in Old Town Eureka, or visit losbagels.com.
Coming to you live, well, recorded, from our new underwater home here in Humboldt County. It is Humboldt Holding Up, the Lost Coast Outposts Good Enough Podcast. My name is Andrew Goff.
And I'm Stephanie McGeary. We've been doing this for almost a year now. Yeah. When is COVID ever going to stop?
You're getting a little delirious.
Yep. Now we just sing everything that we do. But, you know, we have vaccines making their way through Humboldt now. And we feel like the end of this is maybe on the horizon. And
can I give you the sign of hope that I looked to this week that warmed my soul?
Yes,
that it's only January, but my grandmother's daffodils, the first one popped up and they're bloomed in the yard. It's a sign of life.
I love that. I love daffodils for that exact reason. So signs of spring. I feel like maybe I should take care of a couple of our podcast housekeeping things. You can now subscribe to Humboldt Holding Up on iTunes. If you'd like to get this directly to your phone, why not? It's fun. There's lots of guests now. We have lots and lots of guests lots of episodes you can go through. And of course, we're always looking for sponsors. So maybe you have a business or a message or something that you want people who listen to this to hear. I don't know if you want to. Shoot us an email, advertise@lostcoastoutpost.com.
Today on the show, we have Noelle August. If you are a member of the Going Out on the Town set, you may Noelle under her probably more famous drag moniker, Tucker Noir. She has helped to grow the Club Triangle into one of the more vibrant, fun communities in Humboldt these last few years. But as we'll learn in today's show, she's also a mom. She's also a dance teacher. She's a member of the College of the Redwoods Police Academy Community Advisory Committee, surprisingly enough. And she worked on that Jason Segel movie a few months back, all in the midst of a global pandemic.
She has really done it all. That is an eclectic resume. So yeah, I'm very excited to talk to Noelle, aka Tucker, because we haven't checked in a while. It's been a long time since we've talked, and Club Triangle has been still doing stuff throughout this online. It's so cool. So let's talk about it more.
Let's get her in here. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Well, Noelle, thank you for joining us here in the Matrix. I want to start today with just kind of a general introduction for people of what your pre-COVID world looked like, and the most public-facing thing that you've been doing in Humboldt these past few years was helping to produce the Club Triangle events in Arcata, and you did this under your stage persona, Tucker Noir. And I was hoping if you could just kind of describe the structure of what those were first, and then we'll move into what they became a little later.
Yeah, so pre-COVID, Club Triangle it started as a dance party that developed into a drag show that developed into a drag show and community resource in ways that really surprised all of us. I think we ended up having a monthly regular drag show and then oftentimes maybe another party throughout the month. But then we started doing a free drag and clothing closet, which was pretty awesome. And then we did a youth program for a lot of years. and ran, you know, youth shows and did a lot of like mentoring and workshops and special events. And yeah, we used to scream a lot together.
Yeah. I went to a few of these and, you know, and then getting to talk to you about kind of the structure of it. Like, I think we've commented before, like it felt kind of like church in some ways. Like it was very much a community and carried a structure, yeah. And carried, you know, there was very intentional in the decisions you made about how you reached out to people, how you wanted to make everyone feel included. And you just mentioned this, like, I think a great example of that spirit is that thing you just mentioned about the closet.
Yeah.
Like, just describe that little aspect of Club Triangle a little bit more, because I think it's really neat.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. So the whole idea was that, you know, not everybody has access to the clothing that that they need or that makes them feel affirmed or expressive. And so, but there's plenty of clothing that exists. So if we collect it and then we would put it up on the stage, you know, before a show, or when we moved to Humbrus, we had it over to the side during the whole show, people could come and for nothing, for free, pick out things, you know, in a safe space that felt fun and exciting or affirming to them. I remember at the jam, you know, the dressing room was above the stage. And so I would just like watch from above people playing, you know, but that idea that like the resources that people need aren't really limited. It's not really scarce. And so if you just sort of provide the container for that, it can really bring people to life. It can really give people tools to feel better. And if we feel better, we keep going. And that's the, you know, that aspect, that churchy aspect. It really ended up that people were coming to, you know, once a month, gather with people who are like them, who are, you know, feel safe, and to be your full self. And then also, you know, one of the things that churches do is they sing together, you know, they have collective like music moments where they swell with emotion together. And it turns out that that's really important. Just a vital human need is that we, you know, I think that that's sort of like an ancient practice that we don't have a lot of spaces for. And so it did meet that need, that communal expression need, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you talk about singing together. And I think, you know, so for people that don't know how these shows work, is like, you know, there's a dance aspect, but then there's like the show where people will get up and they'll often lip sync to songs that, you know, everyone knows, and they're in their full garb. That it's like rock star training camp in some, like, you just get to express yourself and everyone goes yay, and it's like it's just a very positive, you get very positive feedback. Everyone's applauding everybody else.
Yeah.
Yes. That was big for the youth stuff that we did. You know, if you get a 16-year-old up there who has felt like they don't have a place to belong at school, who maybe doesn't feel comfortable at home, who doesn't have a lot of affirmation, they have a few friends maybe or maybe not, and they get up on stage and they show you something that they imagined. They show you something that they made up and that they're expressing that is authentic to their experience. And then you have a crowd of peers, like you just described, yelling yes. Like that, a lot of teenagers don't experience that kind of like affirmation and that kind of like adults either, you know, the same for adults. And that was what was so exciting about the show itself, is that the priority wasn't necessarily like excellent theater, you know, excellent drag, that, you know, or whatever kind of performance. It was really about, I imagined this and then I'm going to show it to you. And then it reaches somebody. Anything you have imagined will resonate with somebody else. You are like somebody else. And so to have other people hold space for that and affirm that energetically, there's just almost really nothing like it.
I agree with you that the youth shows were so amazing. And I would like try to make a point to make it to those, even if I couldn't make it to a lot of Club Triangle events, because first of all, I mean, some of them were just so amazing and impressive. And I would always think, like, God, I wish that this had existed in Arcata when I was young, you know, when I was in high school. Like, we did not have something like that. And you know, I definitely would have been there. I know a lot of other people who would have been like, I haven't seen it in a lot of other communities. I mean, maybe it exists and I just, but I think that it's, that it's something that has been, I've seen be pretty unique to Arcata and the Club Triangle. And it's like, so crucial to provide this space and that type of outlet for young people.
The way it came about was this, you know, it was very organic. I haven't seen it anywhere else. I've seen youth drag shows, but not like this, and not consistent youth drag shows. And the way it came about is that we, you know, we did a pride back in, I moved into town in 2015, and the pride that year was, you know, outdoors, all ages. And after performing, there was just this crowd of children, this crowd of teenagers, and they were fanning out just like, right. But the fandom wasn't so much about like, oh, the celebrity of these local drag performers. It was really about like the thing that they were seeing that was so, powerful that they wanted to be a part of. And so we did, you know, we had all these youth fans on our hands and realized that that they're wanting what we have. And so we started doing youth workshops and doing, you know, with Synapsis and the Raven Project and creating spaces for performances. And now we have, you know, we have performers who are adults now who've performed, you know, been performing for 5 years already, 6 years already, who, you know, have sharpened their skills, have learned to host, have learned how to produce, have learned how, right now we're moving into a new Twitch show format. And we have our apprentice director is one of our former youth, you know, a young person who we totally believe in and just needs some training and is going to just light up the world. And so it's been really exciting.
Well, we'll get to like Club Triangle, what it has become during COVID. But before we do that, I feel like, you know, we should, you're talking about, you know, your part in this. And when you're, as you were producing these Club Triangle shows, you were doing so under the persona of, we already mentioned, Tucker Noir. Like who, so I, for people that don't know, who is Tucker Noir?
So I'll start by saying that Tucker is a drag king. And so a lot of people don't know that that's a thing that exists. I didn't know it was a thing that existed until I knew either. And so it, you know, is the, anybody of any gender can perform as a drag king. It's a way to showcase masculinity, where drag queening is some versions of femininity. So, those are really broad terms, but so Tucker as a character, my idea behind him has been, that I want to pretend to be the best man I can imagine, like the most, upstanding, gracious, benevolent, safe, kind, beautiful, glamorous, like, everything that could be good about men. I want to project that really hard out into the world. And so I perform this, like, this guy. And it didn't really start out that way. It started out as like, I want to pretend to be a dude. You know, I kind of like tried on that, like, thing where you're sort of like, you know, a rude guy or whatever. And it didn't feel right. And it didn't feel good. And so
Tucker Noir is big and out there, and Club Triangle is successful. And, you know, about this time last year, y'all were on the verge of expanding. You'd felt that you had outgrown the jam space, so you were on the verge of moving to Humbrews so that you could have more people there. And then COVID hits, and then what happened?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So on. It was a Thursday, California came out with the recommendation that events with 200 people or more needed to stop, and our show was on Saturday. And we were at Humbrews. We did. You're absolutely right. We had just moved over there, and we moved because the jam had like a capacity of around 200 people, and we were packing it, and so we knew that we were at about 200. And there, I felt really, really compelled to say that we're done. We can't do this. Like, this is not. Club Triangle loves the community. Club Triangle loves our people. And if we were to put people at risk, it would go against everything that we exist for. And so we canceled immediately. And I talked to Steph about this in the interview that we did, back in the spring.
Almost a year ago, which is crazy to think about now. And I was going to say that, like, this is just such a COVID full circle moment here, because I think you were the first person that I interviewed, like, just about, did this kind of Q&A thing about just like, hey, how has this been for you? And now here we are almost a year later. Anyway, so you were.
Well, it's so because if I remember correctly, I do a lot of the calendar of event stuff for Loco, and both Club Triangle and Humbrews were among the first people to stand up locally and just be like, okay, look, the responsible thing here is to cancel.
And to
come out with a strong statement like, we love you, this breaks our hearts, but the right thing to do right now is to stay home and not do this.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. And Laurel at Humbrews, it was a really tough conversation because I had written her like earlier that week and been like, I'm starting to think that we might be in danger of having to cancel. And she's like, thinking like, do we have to, like, that I have a lot of shows that we're doing over here. Like, we don't need to jump on that quite yet. And so Club Triangle was the first event that I know of in the county to say we're stopping. And that spurred Laurel to be like, okay, yeah, you're absolutely right. We've got to stop. And her, that was a huge plunge for Humbrews, that was absolutely the right thing to do, but agonizing, the interview, if anybody is listening to this and didn't hear the interview with Laurel, the podcast episode with Laurel, it was amazing. So what we did is, but it kicked people into feeling really scared, because all of a sudden their home, their church, so to speak, was gone, was canceled. That meant that this was really serious. And so that's when we adapted right away in about 24-hour turnaround time, created an online festival on Saturdays, which we didn't intend to keep going with. We just thought it would be a replacement for that one show that we were going to do that day. But we had such an incredible, interactive response, and the need was so huge that right that day, that Saturday, we decided we were going to keep going every Saturday. So we still do things on Saturdays, but really strongly for the first 8 months, we had between 5 and 12 hours of engagement and entertainment every Saturday. And now we still have a couple of things going, but we're kind of changing our method and what we're doing. But yeah, that's how that went down.
So what does the future hold for Club Triangle?
Yeah. So it's really, I'm really excited because a drag show, or, we do more than just drag. We have a lot of other kinds of performers that are a part of our fold, but for lack of a better term, we'll just say drag show. We're very scrappy and very, very DIY. And so we don't have to wait on a board or, any sort of institutionalized things to sort of like do what we do. So we are moving into, and that's just to say that we'll keep going almost no matter what. Like, we're just going to keep coming back in different ways. And then I'm going on air talking about this. We've been working for the last like several months on this concept of really moving into sort of like, taking what we had been doing on Saturdays, moving it into sort of like a TV show, so to speak, so that we're bringing like relevant information, helpful local resources, and like engaging entertainment together, sort of an adult Sesame Street, probably with no puppets. We have puppeteers in our mix, but some puppets. There's going to be some. So yeah, we're kind of working on that. We are in the planning stages for what the next year is going to look like. Everybody is feeling, you know, connected and creative and like things are possible. And that alone is like a really great, that's really great.
I don't want to gloss over this because I think it's impressive, but I should say if we haven't stated specifically that for every Saturday over the last year since you shut down, I mean, y'all have put on some sort of online gathering on, you know, whether it be on Instagram, just like, you know, the Club Triangle diehards have come, and it's, you know, and it's not the same. It's not where there, it's not to replace, but it's just like to give the people who garnered a sense of community from that gathering something to hold on to as we all deal with the hellscape of now.
Yes. To say like, you're not completely isolated. You know, the fear of isolation was really what kicked that whole Saturday thing in, because the queer and trans community, suicidality is, you know, way higher in this, you know, a people group. And so isolation and fear of the unknown and, you know, loss can trigger all of that. And so this idea that like, hey, buddies, your friends are still here. We're all still here. So we did things like you could tune in and learn ASL. You could learn how to journal. You could have a little dance party. You could watch a horror movie. You could play a drinking game. You could learn makeup art. You could just hang out. You could learn about trans-specific topics. You could watch cartoons. Like, what, again, that idea that we're bringing to the stage, that if you have something to offer, other people feel that too, will resonate with it too. And so opening it up to the Club Triangle performers, like, what do you love? What do you care about? Other people love and care about that too. And putting that out there so that everybody could have,
I used to see that you would do a lot of kind of like weekly themes, stuff like that, to kind of to kind of drive the engagement. Is that still going on, or is that still sort of part of it?
We've slowed down on the challenges. We were doing them hardcore at first, like every week, and then we were doing them every month, because at first it was really important that people were doing something. A lot of people felt like they didn't have anything to do, and they didn't have anything to sort of mark the weeks, mark the months, you know, like it was just empty time sort of passing. And they didn't have any reason to sort of like have any creative expression. So we did really fun challenges and got the community to submit. And that's one of the to submit, like it would be a challenge, like a theme. We did, like in May, we did like a tea party theme, and so people, you know, would turn out their fun tea party things, and we would share all of that. And so now moving into the Twitch shows, that's one of the aspects that we're looking to bring back, is this every other month, these challenges that the community can participate in.
Yeah, just kind of to wrap up on that, like it has struck me as being very commendable, just the commitment that crew has had to maintaining that community and serving that community. Like every time I go and check in on like the Club Triangle social media, like, man, are they still doing that thing? Yep, sure are. They cannot be stopped.
I looked back at that before this interview. Before this interview, I looked back at our interview from March, and it said, you had said, you know, streaming Saturdays are this coming Saturday and every Saturday until things get back to normal. And I was looking at that like, oh, wow. Yeah. At the time, they probably didn't realize what a commitment that was going to be, but they've kept their word.
You know, it's been really amazing, because I just have to say, like, I want to give so much love, like, to the Club Triangle crew, because they really have worked, and it is work. They've worked, you know, for almost a year for nothing. Club Triangle hasn't brought in, we brought in $20. Club Triangle has made $20 in the last year. We divvied it up among the performers who were in that particular show. We got to pay each of these performers $2. And so this, you know, they have done this because so what you feel at a Club Triangle, the love, the like excitement, those good feelings were real, and so real to the point where these people have been willing to like keep that love going and keep that community connection going for nothing. You know, it has cost them, time and energy and work and thought and planning and all of that. And they've done it because they believe in, you know, spreading goodness and keeping art going. You know, art is where humanity lives. And so they are the best people, the best people. Yeah.
That's amazing. So we want to pivot a little bit and talk about some of the other things that, you know, that Noelle does. with her time. I know that you've also been, you were just saying how not lucrative Club Triangle has been. So you must have to do some other things to try to make a little bit of money. I know that you teach some dance classes over Zoom. I don't know how that works. Like, what kind of dance do you teach and how has that
been going? I love talking about this. So the dance class also doesn't, there's no income from that either, but that's very intentional. Yeah. So it's, no, that's great. So the idea behind the dance class, I've been teaching it for 5 years here in almost, going on six, here in Humboldt. And then I teach it around the country too when I tour. The idea is that it's a community outreach class. It's dance for adults who have always felt like they wanted to experience dance or wanted to, you know, to have that, but haven't had access to it for whatever reason, whether it be, you know, financial barriers or time barriers. Or dance classes are intimidating. They can be terrifying. The dance studio culture, traditional dance studio culture, it does a lot of like, we're going to look at your body and judge it. And if it's not right, then we'll shame you into doing it right. Like that's the old model of dance, you know, classes. And so when I opened up this class for people in the beginning, it was just people were like, oh my gosh, I need this. Oh my gosh, I need this. And it turned out that it's just a real human need that people need a place to gather and physically express and take risks and feel confident and feel proud of themselves and have positive physical experiences. So I stopped doing it when COVID hit, and hadn't really found a good way of getting it to people for a long time. We've been doing it over Zoom for a month. Zoom is a little bit, it had some delays and such. And so we've moved over to Twitch. We start over on Twitch this Saturday. So if you're looking, you know, for a way to move around and feel a little bit better, the Club Triangle Twitch, if you get on Twitch and look up Club Triangle Saturdays at 11, it's something that people need.
So it's like an all levels and just kind of all styles kind of thing.
So it's beginning level. The idea is, but each movement can be done seated or standing. Everything can be done seated or standing, but each movement can also be done with different varying levels of different levels. So a movement that's the exact same movement for everybody can be very introductory if you're just learning the mechanics of it, Or if you've been doing it for a long time, I have students who've been with me for years and years and years. They're getting into like, what are you visualizing? How are you releasing breath? Where is your weight on this? Are you cutting through tension? Is your internal energy condensed or dispersed? You know, those kind of depths and details. Can you go further with it? All, you know, those types of things, so that anybody of any level, you know, experience level can come into this and get something really rich out of it. I lived in Vegas for a bit and taught at Opportunity Village, which is, I don't need to get into what all that is. It's fascinating. You can look it up. But I taught dance for folks with cognitive and physical disabilities from preschool up to seniors. I taught 50 classes a month. And so I come into this class that I'm teaching now with this idea that every single body can have access to dance. And so the class is so doable. There is nothing scary. There is nothing in here that would keep really anybody from experiencing it. And it's secretly really meant, I mean, it's framed as a dance class, but really, like, wink, wink, it's just meant to improve people's mood. Honestly, like, if people aren't feeling better, if people don't have ways to feel better, I feel like we're going to collectively spin into some really like unhealthy, rough places. But if people have something to look forward to, they're getting up and physically moving, they're feeling like the freedom and release of just like, ah, those endorphins. If we collectively get shots of that, I think we're going to survive better.
Yeah. And we definitely, most of us have noticed that we don't feel as inclined to do that these days. Yes. It's kind of really easy to get just stuck on the couch.
I will mention that before you logged on here, Stephanie confided in me that she was hoping that maybe you would lead us in some stretches because she was feeling a little down today. So maybe at the end of this we'll end.
Oh
with
yeah,
some,
it's
some
on
stretches.
That okay, seems yeah. better. Yeah,
okay. On.
I came in like I am just in a bad mood, and I feel like I can.
Stephanie McAngry.
You're gonna relate to this, Noelle, because I know that you're also a parent. Mm-hmm. And it's been tough.
It's
you know,
so
it's tough. It, being a parent it is tough always, sometimes, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. But with COVID, this is a group that I have, you know, seen struggling a lot, because you know, it's just, there's all these extra challenges. The kids are at home more. They can't play with the other kids. Like you're yep. stressing about other stuff, maybe money and, you know, and work and just that, you know, a global pandemic is going on. Like there's just a lot on all of our minds. And then you're trying to take care of your little ones. And some days you're just like, I just can't
yep.
fucking do this. Like, so I don't know about
yep.
I don't know about you. Like I was wondering, you know, too. I mean, how many kids do you have?
That's always a good question.
But I don't know how
yeah.
many. Like
so
10
I have,
or
yeah, 12 to 50. I can't keep count.
They're all my
children. I have five that are my children. Two are adults, and so they're not in, you know, in the house. I don't have to do the daily child, you know, ness with those two. But I have three at home, and it's so hard. I have one of my kiddos is loving this. He is just cozy. He is just like, I'm home all day, I'm with my family, I'm gonna do my things. He's like, this is chill. But the other two are struggling. One of the things I'm really finding is that there are no resources for, or very few, I feel like I'm at the point where I'm getting ready to try to make one, for young kids to on through Zoom or, you know, online, have gathering that is mostly unstructured. School, you know, virtual school is brutal. My daughter, you know, is so depressed because she can see her friends. She can see the people. But interaction is, you know, they don't do recess together. They don't have time, you know, before and after school together. It's all structured. There's no, and how is a child supposed to make new friends right now? Where is that? The Boys and Girls Club isn't doing anything virtually. Scouts isn't doing anything virtually. Raven doesn't do things for kids this young. Like, dance classes are completely, you know, structured. Like, where is this? And so much of my time right now is spent in trying to find this, or, you know, I'm at the point where I'm starting to look into creating something.
Yeah, this is, I haven't heard a lot of other people talk about this, and you're so right. I think that's really true, is that, you know, part of when the kids are going to, there's been a lot of talk about trying to get them back to school for various reasons, but like that, having some of that unstructured time where they just get to, you know, hang with their friends or play, you know, depending on their age, is a really critical part of it.
And totally. When are they learning their social emotional skills? Like, when are they learning their, you know, community skills, and, you know, their how to do, you know, a whole year for a child is a huge portion of their lives that you know they're not going to get back. And so, and then the boredom, you know, just the boredom. I'm like trying to song and dance it as much as possible, but I'm really running out of stuff here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We've all been relying on TV, I think, like a little bit more maybe than usual, and some of that kind of stuff. And it's important not to be too hard on yourself about it, of course, but you know, I mean, how do you find that? How are you balancing that with also, you know, still maintaining your creative outlets? And
I don't sleep. I just don't. I just do everything all the time. It's the thing that there's, you know, 24 hours in the day, I have to sleep like 5 of them. So, yeah. But you know, honestly, the thing is that, so I'm a single mom. I work a lot. I have so many other things going. I have 3 children. I have a personal life, all that. But I'm not willing. I'm totally unwilling to spiritually sort of emotionally die. And so I like will, or let my children spiritually or emotionally die, or let my community spiritually and emotionally die. So there's sort of this urgency of just like, okay, I have to dress up, or I'm not going to get up tomorrow morning, or I have to, you know, twirl around with my kid, because otherwise she's not going to get up in the morning. Like there's this sort of like, I don't know. I think because I feel that it's so important, that balance, just kind of fight for it and claw for it and get it in however I can.
I don't like the no sleep solution. Please. And I can't even believe like that. I think a lot of parents do that. We're like, well, what's the first thing to go? I guess just my own sleep.
Right.
And I have a very young one, you know, so it's like that's taught with a toddler. That's out of the question.
Oh, it's anyway. Oh wow.
Yeah. But it drives, I go crazy. I go crazy when I haven't had enough sleep. I am literally a crazy person. Like sleep is very crucial.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm amazed. It makes me feel, it's humbling. I'm like, sometimes I'm overwhelmed, you know, with one kid and you have three and do all these other things. So you're definitely an inspiration.
Equally hard. Having one is so hard too, because then it's true with all, you know, parenting at home right now, but with one, I mean, it's just you. At least, you know, with other kids, they can sometimes talk to each other.
Yeah, right.
you know, at least there's that.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to inject some very stark juxtaposition into everything that we've just talked about, you know, in talking about you, you know, planning drag shows and everything, something you also are involved in is you are on, is it an advisory board? Is that the, is that what you call it? For the CR Police Academy.
Yeah. The Community Advisory Board.
The Community Advisory Board for the College of the Redwoods Police Academy. How in the world did you get that gig?
Okay, so it was offered to somebody else who is so the police academy, after the uprising that started over the summer, decided that they had to make some changes. And so they instituted a community advisory board where they sort of, like, for lack of, like, I don't know, more professional terms, they kind of picked one of each. They're like, let's get, you know, somebody from the, you know, LGBTQIA2S plus community. Let's get, you know, some people from, you know, the tribes. Let's get, you know, somebody that's from the Black community. They sort of, like, grabbed like that. And they actually reached out to somebody else in the community who didn't want to do it, who reached out to me. And then I, as a cis white person, knew that I didn't carry the intersectionality that would be ideal for a person in this role. So I reached out to like six other people to see if they wanted to do it. And everybody's like, nope. Let me know how that goes. And so... So that's how it kind of came to me. I have to say that, like, on a personal level, I don't want to work with the police academy, and I've let them know that too. Like this feels, in a lot of ways, like going in to help something that you don't feel like should really even be there. However, I don't see it going away right now. And if there is open, you know, if there's openness to conversation, I am hoping that the people that I'm in these talks with are human beings who still have empathy intact, who still have concern for human life intact, and will be able to hear things that have to change, and that makes me hopeful. And the conversations are. Yeah, I hope productive.
Well, you have some evidence that there is the empathy you describe at some level, because, you know, as you said, like, this all the need for this came out of the conversations that were had subsequent to the George Floyd protests, right? Am I correct on the timing there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, and so, you know, somebody in some position of authority was like, look, let's capitalize on this moment and let's have this conversation. Let's invite members of the community who might not otherwise have a say on something as foundational as, you know, the academy where we train our police officers. And so that's, I mean, I don't know. I found that to be laudable.
I will say I'm not going to laud it because I don't trust that it was not done primarily for the image of doing it. But that's fine. That can be their primary motivation, was to sort of like, to try to heal public opinion, to try to, you know, to be able to make a press release that says that we did this, you know, that I think is a huge motivation for why this was done. However, fine, get us in the room and we're going to say things to you. Yeah. Like, there, I'm not doing any lauding at this point. But I am grateful to be able to have some really serious and intense conversations with those folks. And I think there's been some good exchanges that have happened.
Okay. Yeah. I guess the results will speak to how effective this was at some later point.
Yeah.
Take a while. Yeah. It's also, it seems to be slow moving, all of these changes that some places are trying to make. So,
yeah.
Okay, and then one more dramatic pivot in the midst of this crazy global pandemic and everything shutting down and nobody's having any fun. You had the opportunity to have a very fun, unique, new to you creative outlet fall in your lap for. I think about a month. You got to work pretty much 2 months.
Yeah.
Is it 2 months? Okay. Yeah. You got to work pretty much full time on the Jason Segel movie that was here filming in Humboldt. Tell us a little bit about first how that came to be, and what did you end up doing on that movie, and how cool is Jason?
So it was amazing. It came to me in a, I won't tell the whole story if because we don't have time, but if anybody wants to know the whole bizarre story, let me know and I'll tell it. It was just very strange, and it did come, it did fall on me. It all of a sudden, one day I just had a job on the Jason Segel movie. And so I was hired as a stand-in, which means that for the main, I would watch the main actor like do their scene and then memorize it, and then go, and they would go get their hair and makeup done, and then I would step in, getting to be a body double, a background actor, a featured background actor. I did stunt stuff. I drove in the movie. One of the scenes was a dance scene,
yes.
And so I got to do the big like dance number. For 8 hours. I did that dance for 8 hours. It was so fun.
We know about that because you were doing it right underneath Loco's office window, and we came down and we snuck a little video of it. I don't know if that's what the director of the movie would prefer, but we put a little bit of that footage online, and I think people can see you in it if they go refer to the previous Loco post about when Old Town was shut down and they painted the rail blue. And
Jason's delightful. He's very, very sweet.
Oh,
very, 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 yeah, super cool to work with. Just a great, great, awesome person.
Yeah. Wonderful.
I mean, the very first day, he walked around telling each person that he interacted with, thank you. Thank you so much for your work here. Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So like two months, like, and you were all over the county, right? Like
all over.
This movie shot in a lot of Humboldt locations, more so than maybe any other movie that I've heard shot up here.
All over. Fortuna, Ferndale, McKinleyville, Eureka, Arcata, Trinidad, you know, all over. Fieldbrook, all over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was beautiful. It was the best. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it must have been fun to get to.
It's going
to
be a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
Cool. It must have been really great to get to do something like that too, like during COVID. I mean, where you're, you know, of course the movie, the crews and all the people from the film commission always assure us they're definitely doing all the proper protocols, you know, for COVID, but you still get to be around people and like actually do some work around other people in person, you know, dance, not on a screen together. Like that must have been a really nice change for you and very refreshing.
It was truly like one of the greatest gifts, and I can't put words to that enough. And I will say too, like for anybody who is concerned about the COVID stuff, it was amazing. We were tested 4 days a week, and had a COVID team that would walk around and yell at us. There was so much fighting with the COVID team. People were so mad at the COVID team by the end of this, because they really would walk up and like physically separate people. Like, you're not in the same department. You have to get further apart. Like, I saw you put that mint under your mask, you know?
Oh my God.
Like, and that we had zones. And if the actors had their masks off, like everybody else had to have goggles, you know, and the masks and be, you know, only certain people were allowed. Bathrooms were all like separated. People were going around sanitizing nonstop. It was
oh my gosh. That job, there are these people who basically have to act like the chaperone at a middle school dance.
Yes.
They're like, I see you not getting
a great job. A lot of local
yardstick.
A lot of local folks did that job. And so shout out to all of our folks, you know, living here that were a part of that and had to do all that. Thanks, friends.
Wow.
And what is the working title for this film again? I've heard conflicting.
The film itself is called The Sky Is Everywhere. And when I say it sounds like this guy is everywhere. That's not the sky.
This guy is everywhere.
This guy is everywhere.
Oh, I like that. That's the Jimmy, the famous misheard Jimi Hendrix lyric.
Yeah, that's the Jason Segel in Humboldt
right,
story.
Right, this guy is everywhere, literally. He was. It was everywhere in Humboldt. Yeah. I love it. Well, Noelle, the time has, just really flown by on this. I cannot believe that we've already been talking for this long. Obviously, we're having some connectivity issues anyway, so I think we'll try to wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining us and taking the time. Is there anything else that you want to add? Any last message you want to get out to Humboldt?
Oh my gosh. Just, I love you so much. I am so happy to live here and so happy to be here and so happy to experience. Yes, one other thing, actually. Artists Dismantling Capitalism is coming up at the end of February. And I'll be, that's where the Whiteness Within workshop started. So I lead, I co-facilitate something called the Whiteness Within, which is a workshop to help dismantle white supremacy in individual people. So that's where that started last year. This year, we're starting a new workshop. We'll continue with the Whiteness Within, but we're also starting a new workshop on hierarchical power dynamics and how to navigate sort of the oppression of power status abuse. So check that out. Artists Dismantling Capitalism, February 26th and 27th.
Great. And we can find more online, I imagine. Social
media. Yeah. And it's a part of Cooperation Humboldt. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Great.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, and of course, Streaming Saturdays, we still have that going on every Saturday, which is basically from whenever you get up to whenever you go to sleep.
All day.
And there's and the dance class on Saturdays at 11. Come take dance class. You'll feel better. Okay. It's fun. I love it.
We're gonna do it, Andrew. We've been talking about this. We need to get moving.
Oh, do we need to end with our stretches? Do we need to?
Let's get a taste right now.
Okay. What's one stretch?
This is what we're gonna do. You ready?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is first thing we're gonna do is we're gonna pat our faces.
Take off the glasses.
Get rid of them. You don't even need them anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, we're patting.
And we'll move the neck and the shoulder. Gentle, be nice. Oh, and we'll do a little brush. Yes. Brush. Really get in there. Get in the other side.
Brushing.
Okay, here. You're going to do that brushing here.
Brushing.
We're
going
to tap in the sternum.
Okay.
Take a deep breath in.
Oh, this is what bullies do.
yeah. And we're going to shake. Okay, we're going to shake your hands.
Oh.
We're going to shake our upper body.
Yes, okay. I'm doing that.
And now we're going to squeeze everything tight. You ready? Squeeze tight. Hold your breath. And melt. And then I squeeze everything tight.
Oh my God.
My rectum. Don't fart. and then now the last thing we'll do is we'll just expand. Take up as much space as you can. Take a deep breath in and
all right. Now we can get through another week.
That's right. Yay. Thanks, friends. Right. I hope that we're not still talking about COVID in an interview in another year.
Yay.
I hope so too. Let's hope our next yearly interview.
Yeah.
In a post.
Thank you, Noelle.
Thanks, you friend. So much.
Right. Bye. See ya.
Okay. Well, thanks so much again to Noelle August, AKA Tucker Noir, for joining us today and helping to put us in a little bit of a better mood with some stretching and breathing. That was a first on the podcast for me, but I liked it. More of that, please. We need more of that in this world.
We could absolutely, and I would support this, tack on a stretching angle to the every one of the end of these podcasts.
Really? Okay. I don't know a lot of other podcasts that do. There's probably a whole set of podcasts that are dedicated to just that, but I don't know. I don't know anything about it. That's the first time I've stretched in a year, so
it's good.
I'm gonna go take a bath now.
long is strong, they say. I heard someone say that. Anyway, it's been great. Another one of these in the bag. wear a mask. And Steph, thank you for your energy.
Oh, thank you, Andrew. And take care.